Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Gabrielle Union strived for the perfection her father always demanded, but as a dark-skinned Black girl, she never felt like she was enough. In our new series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she learned to embrace the things that scared her and let go of her need to be perfect.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. It's a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about.
Well, on the Oprahs.
I'm Ronnie. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Here I am today again with the gorgeous and talented Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm so excited because I've got a big week this week. Doing tons of shows this week, just here at home. But then next week, we're going to be going out of town again. We're going to do a couple of big ones, New York City and then Washington, D.C. That's May 11th and 13th, New York and then Washington. In New York City, we're going to be covering Real Housewives of New Jersey. And then in Washington, D.C., we will be doing Pump Rules. So those are going to be huge shows. Come get your tickets. Then just a little while after that, in June, we're going to finish it out. We're going to go to San Diego. So San Diego, go buy your tickets. Do that. Okay. And then we're going to St. Paul, Minnesota, Chicago. Sorry, I had to swallow in the middle of that.
Okay.
I'm going to take some time swallowing.
Hey,
then
okay.
Chicago, then Columbus, then Boston, then Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. So go get your tickets over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Guess what else is there? Pornography.
What?
If you consider bonus episodes and Crappens on Demand videos, penises.
Wow.
On camera.
I
that's
do.
Pornography.
I
because
do.
We do have a lot of on-demand videos are super fun. And we also have, guess what? Bonus episodes. This past week, we did the Real Housewives of Orange County preview. If you're an audio bonus listener, you can hear the audio. If you're a Crappens on Demand watcher, you can watch it along with us watching the trailer. It's very exciting stuff, okay? You know what? Ramona is very proud and excited to be on Real Housewives of the County that's Orange, okay? The new cast member. Set.
Whoa, it's crazy, okay? So today we're going to do some Top Chef, which this week is going to be moving to being a Friday recap for us, which makes more sense anyway, considering the show airs on Thursdays. But yes, Top Chef is going to be a Friday recap for Ben and Ronnie. Did you mean to change the schedule a little bit?
Until Bravo changes the schedule next week, fucks our lives, and then all bets are off. We have no idea what's going on. But for now, that's it.
Okay. Now for now, it's time.
So here we are. This episode is 2008. Okay. Season 20, episode 8, and it's called Street Food Fight.
And did you see, Ronnie, that Padma Lakshmi is in this year's Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue?
She's got some badonk, too, going on in that. I saw, is that what that was from? Her bikini and her butt's, like, all big and bulbous and, like, coming at you from 3D from the page. I was
she
like,
is,
yes.
Padma is just, like, so undeniably gorgeous. And I
she
love that she's
gorgeous.
She is gorgeous. But Padma's also, like, very much, like, she's just, like, so Padma, too. Because also another thing that happened recently is about a week ago, there was this whole thing with the Time 100, and I can't remember if was she honored in the Time 100 or Ali Wong was honored in the Time 100. Whatever it was, she posted this on her Instagram a few days ago. Just her in a beautiful, of course, looking beautiful, like just on a railing saying, "Drop little hands back in the U.S. Little hands is her daughter. Drop little hands back in the U.S. Did some laundry and left for Japan for a secret little project. Tokyo was a whirlwind and I may have left my heart there, but rushed back in time for the hashtag Time 100 Gala tomorrow. Basically, smart people's prom." Like, that's
hashtag life is short. Hashtag jet lag is real. Triple exclamation point. Observatory glam. Hair by Keith Hair. Stylist Yappy 01234567 89. and makeup by Kuniko_Katsuaka. Okay, Padma, it's like, what is this, the end of fucking Mission Impossible? And the credits. And the fucking credits on your Instagram post, ma'am.
Raise your hand if you've been to Smart People's Prom. Anyone? Sarah, how about you? Oh, I'm sorry, you must have gone to Bumblebee Tuna Prom. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry, where Sarah's from? That's called the maternity ward.
Wow. So. Sarah, unfortunately, didn't get to go to Smart People's Prom because it was held in Paris. Sorry, Sarah.
Sorry, Sarah. No Paris allowed for you, dummy. So then this is her caption for her in her badonky donk bathing suit picture for Sports Illustrated. First of all, can I just say, not retouched, which is very impressive. You do not see that very often. Good for you, lady.
Unlike Gail with a cupcake, not retouched.
Or you could call it untouched, like Gail during Smart People Prom. Now there's someone who definitely went to Smart People Prom. Am I right, Gail?
Amazing. She did back-to-back Smart People's and Fried Egg Prom. Amazing.
She made out with an Island Garden cookbook. That's pretty much it. So this is a very long one. When we said this year would be filled with epic women. Oh, this is just a repost, I guess. So
it's
we don't
Sports
have to
Illustrated.
Read it there.
But I like her. Yeah. I like her reading it. The idea of her being like, "Hey, look what someone wrote about me. I'm hot."
There was one this week. I couldn't remember if it was a Instagram post or what it was, but she's like, "Guess what, everybody? I have nipples and I have a butt, and that's just how it is." Because people are, Padma, how come you eat burritos in your underwear? Or you'll do like your cooking thing on Instagram where she's like, "Hi, everybody. Just making some eggs in a bra. These eggs sure are delicious." And people are like, "Jesus, Padma, you thirst bucket." I guess. That's what I guess happened. Because she's like, "Well, guess what? I have nipples. And sometimes my nipples come out when I'm cooking. Boo. Sorry to be a woman. Like, love her. Love it.
Sorry, I don't want to spill egg on my Smart People Prom dress by my dear friend Diane von Furstenberg Vera Wang.
Here I am standing with multiple piles of yarn, otherwise known as Gail's pretend prom dates. By the way, Gail did eat all of these by the end of Smart People Prom. Do you see this one where she's just posing with all the yarn?
No, I thought you were making that up.
Oh, no. She's literally posing with yarn in Marrakesh. She's like, 2023 to 2025, 2023 back to 2005. The last time I was in Marrakesh, I was filming the Ten Commandments. Yes, from the Bible. That's why the Princess Bithia bangs. Ha ha. I had already done Padma's Passport and Planet Food, but this was way before Top Chef or Taste the Nation or even Little Hands. It was heaven to go back, soak up the size and smell of the sights. Sorry. Gosh, you don't want to soak up size. Let me tell you that much. I learned that in flying in coach with Gail.
We learned that at Gail Prom. She slow danced the theme song for Hellman's.
Soak up the sights and smells of the market and share it all with my daughter for the first time. This is so meaningful to me that I'm not even putting credits at the end of this Instagram post. Thank you.
Just me and several bundles of poor people's yarn. What a special moment. I've already pitched the idea for this to my dear friend Lena Waithe for a new TV show called Padma and Yarn, a story of redemption.
Ali Wong starring in Yarn.
A story
containing lots of ball jokes. Get it?
Yarn, starring my dear friend Ali Wong. It's a story of a woman who gets into a road rage incident while driving to pick up some yarn.
So let's start with the end of last week. Dale, please pack your mustache and go, stupid face. Okay. I hope that at customs back into Canada, they have a barbershop, Dale. Go.
Yeah. Enjoy your watching John Candy VHS as well, listening to Justin Bieber in Canada.
Spoiler alert, his hands weren't between pillows, they were between butt cheeks.
So Victoire is very sad because she doesn't like it when she makes a bad dish. And then Amar is like, well, there's 10 of us left. And, you know, we need to be happy that we're still here. Like,
I mean, guess who comes in? Gagan.
Oh, yeah.
Just every day's chef, okay? Chef Gagan. He's like, hello, chef. It's me, Gagan, the first chef ever to come back here and have a talk with you about your food. Let's do it. You know what I want to have with you? A beer. A beer. That's yeah. what I want. Because I'm just a man of the people.
Yeah, I'm just man of the people, Gagan. I'm just a regular Gagan, cool, chill guy who hangs out and charges about $300 for fruit roll-up in the shape of the globe. You know? Come on.
He's man like of holding people. A baby. Holding a baby, passing out Gagan hats.
He's like, yeah, he's definitely taking a victory lap. He's loving these cameras. And he's like, listen, I wanted to say hi to you all because I didn't want you to have a sullen moment after I broke the hearts of one man who had a handlebar mustache. You know, I just want to sit back here and have a beer with you, you know?
Gagan, pick lick. Ding. So the chef's his slogan for running for office. Oh. So Victoire is like, do you need any chefs in your kitchen? And he's like, anytime, come to me. I'm Gagan, chef of the people. And she's like, and she goes up and shakes his hand. This is the smartest person who's ever been on this show. Can I just say?
Yes.
Victoire, whether you win or lose, you are the smartest person. She just secured herself a job and she's like, you shook my hand on national TV. Don't make me break one of your fucking country plates on your head. I'll do it.
Yeah. And then he gives this like very patronizing advice, like very easy to say from someone who is like vaunted and had a Netflix special about him and charges thousands of dollars for his food. And, you know, like has just shattered the dream of Dale. And he's like, listen, here's what you have to do. You just have to don't hold back. Just have fun. Have fun. That's all you need to do here. Have fun. Because you know you can always go back to your empire and your Michelin stars. It's like, okay, Gagan, I think you could leave now. Like, we don't need you here right now.
And do you know what is better than winning? Having memories. Because when you have memories, even if they're of not winning, that's what makes you a better chef. The experience of not winning things. I was like, get out of here. It's a competition. What are you, a reverse coach?
Yeah, could you please stop waving at the camera? Okay, we see you. We see you.
So Amar's like, hey, this is the only opportunity that happens on Top Chef. And that's the best advice I ever heard. Except that time I was in Morocco and they told me, put lamb in a tagine for at least 8 hours.
Oh, one of the privileges of having gone to Morocco, which, by the way, I should mention, I did go to Morocco once. I did do that, yes.
And he leaves with his beer, and then he points at the stuffed sheep on the ground. He's like, and don't cook that sheep.
Classic Gagan. I didn't even notice that part. I didn't notice the sheep thing. I didn't even notice that there was a stuffed sheep.
Yeah, it was the same. It looked like the same stuffed sheep that Danielle gave Lindsay on Summer House.
Wow.
Makes me wonder what the hell's going on. Because you know how
I
now,
want one.
Like they had Clase Azul on as a storyline on one of the Housewives, and now it's everywhere. You're like seeing it everywhere. And people are like, wait a minute, was I tricked? Was this just another Bravo tie-in? And I'm wondering how stuffed sheep works as a Bravo tie-in. Yeah. I'm very excited to find out.
Maybe it's like the point of this entire scene.
Oh, you're right. Maybe it is.
Don't they have those sheep?
The basic point of the scene in my notes is, shut up, Gagan, go away, you fucking snob.
Thank you. So I agree. So now it's the next day, and they run in through the clock doors, and Pam is like, hello, hello. And she's standing in front of a wall of passports, and she's also wearing these like pants that look like two giant grocery like bags, like paper bags. So she's like, I'm just like one of the people, because what people don't realize is that while I'm wearing paper bags as pants, I actually have access to yarn from Marrakesh right now. I'm going to make my own pants.
I know you guys are so curious how I can still make parachute pants work. It's called magic. I'd like to introduce you to author, restaurateur, and lady who says hello once instead of hello, hello, like me, Judy Ju. Go ahead and say hello, won't you? And she goes, hello. I told you. One hello. This is how you do it, Judy. Hello, hello.
You know, one of the greatest parts about Judy Ju is that she's pretty cool, but not cool enough for me to say her name twice. So I just get to I just say Judy Ju, and then I just leave off the D part, because she hasn't really earned the second syllable of the second repetition of her name. Do you know what I'm saying? Is everyone following what I'm trying to say here?
So, who's ready to travel around the world? Not you, Sarah, okay? You don't have enough teeth to get your passport stamped.
You know, it's important to travel and learn about other cultures and their yarn around the world. And one of the best ways to do that is by eating street food, assuming Gail hasn't been to the market already, because then there'll be nothing left. Am I right? Bless her heart.
And Julie's like, some of the best meals I've ever eaten in my life. Right there on the pavement. My friend Gail is eating lots of food off the pavement, Ju. She's like a fatherless pigeon. She's like a featherless pigeon. I mean, just set her loose. Drop some M&Ms on the pavement. Watch Gail go. Am I right?
Oh, my God. I once watched her lick the chalk off of asphalt because she thought we said butterscotch, not hopscotch.
This isn't lick by number, Gail. Get off the ground. Can't believe I almost called Gail a featherless pigeon, a fatherless pigeon. How rude.
Just a pigeon singing somewhere out there. So Judy's like, I love street food so much, I even created my own concept, Soul Bird, around the street food of Korea. Thank you very much. Thank you, Soul Bird. I'm sure you've all heard of it. Soul Bird. Soul Bird, anyone? Anyone? Soul Bird.
What are your favorite street foods? For today's quickfire challenge, we're looking for street food from around the world. You'll each have to make an iconic dish from one of these iconic countries.
That's Sarah.
Is Padma up there? You want to talk about iconic?
Hey, Sarah, what sort of street food do you like? She's like, well, I love a good funnel cake. Sounds like more like a rural carnival in your quilt capital of the world, but I guess we'll accept it.
Gail likes tunnel cake, too. That's cake that Gail eats in a tunnel. So that's where she was originally cast. Tom and I were driving around in a large school bus in Pittsburgh for some reason. We went through a tunnel, and I said, get that one. She'll eat anything. And we did.
Although I guess here in Britain, we call it tunnel cake instead. Either way, as long as she's in an enclosed space that could possibly get trapped in and die, she'll eat it. The cake, that is, from that space. Let me so clarify. Julie's like,
Julie's like, you won't know what you're making until you pick a passport. So Gabby is like, the only place I've been to, really, he hasn't traveled a lot. So he's just been to Canada. So, and he got to go there from Top Chef Mexico. So he's like, if someone grabs a Canada passport, I fight. I will fight them for it. Now, what are the big Canadian foods? Because we were just there and we didn't really have, I guess, big Canadian. Because before when we were there, they were like poutine. I mean, this is in Montreal, you know, because it's French Canadian. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of like
Montreal
French
bagels. There is like a tradition of like Quebecois food. And there's actually a tradition. There's like Acadian food. So actually our friend Catherine Spears hosts a podcast called Smart Mouth that if people are interested
good
in this
one.
Sort
that's
of...
That's a good one, everybody. Go check it out.
Go check it out. If people are interested in these sort of questions, she actually does a lot. She has a lot of episodes on regional foods. And I actually did listen to the one about like, is it Acadian or Acacian? I forget. But like that sort of Halifax, Nova Scotian, Northeastern Canadian food. So there's definitely stuff. There's definitely stuff out there. So
that's cool. We should learn more about it. Okay, next time we go to Canada, we're going to learn about the food because I feel like every time they bring up Canada, people are like, here's some maple syrup. Yeah. I'm like, come on, guys. I mean, I've had such great food there. I just wouldn't know how to describe the difference in their food, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's definitely actually when we were up there last week.
It's nice. Yeah. It's nice food. It's very kind food. It's hello.
It's food that apologizes to you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, did I come out too soon? What did I put on the plate too soon?
Anyway, Judy's like, well, Gagan sort of stole my vibe, but what I wanted to say was, don't be afraid to have fun. But we still want to be able to understand what the original inspiration was. So anyway, this has been Judy Jew from Soul Bird. Thank you. Thank you very much. Continue.
So this is very difficult because they don't only pick a passport and have to make something from that country. They actually get told what to make, which is hard. I think that's harder. So Victoria is last. Victoire, sorry. And she picks Jamaica, which she's psyched with. Gabri got Canada. Amar gets Colombia. Someone else got India. I don't know. So Buddha got Vietnam.
Yeah.
And Charbel got Japan, and he got some kind of octopus takoyaki.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Okay, I just made, can I shape it into a flag? Okay.
Can I make it into a fruit today?
Can takoyaki be made as smears.
He's like, I'm going to make it into a flag that you dip crudités into. So Sarah's like, well, I think it's just like, and I think it's just like octopus in a little ball of flour, just a ball of octopus. He's like, okay, I could do octopus in ball of flour, which, by the way, he winds up not being able to do even just that.
Well, that sounds hard. I mean, octopus is hard enough to cook when you're just like, it's hard enough to get a good cook on it when it's not in a goddamn fritter, you know? So Victoire is making rasta. She's like, rasta man, Jamaican jerk chicken. And she's like, I've never been here, but I have spice in my blood.
Yeah.
And then who else?
Gabri's making poutine, and he's using parsnip instead of potato, which had me a little alarmed. And then Canada's...
Alarmed? It had me furious. I was like, I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you. I've done nothing but root for you, even though I said you should have been kicked off a couple of times. Okay, let's forget those parts. I'm rooting for you. How dare you diss the potato?
Yeah.
I hope somewhere at home, Sylvie is throwing mashed potatoes at the television right
now.
Yeah,
seriously. How dare you? Don't fuck with the fries.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's Commercial.
Hey, I'm Brooke.
And I'm Arisha.
And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Rich, where we bring you absolutely true and absolutely shocking stories about the most famous families and the biggest celebrities the world has ever seen.
Our newest series is all about the teen movie icon, Gabrielle Union. After spending her childhood trying to assimilate and breaking into a racist industry, Gabrielle thought her success meant someone else had to fail. But when she's faced with hard choices beyond her control, she realizes that the only way to find real success is to come together and build community.
In our series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she shook off her need for perfection, found her true self, and created the life she always wanted.
Follow Even the Rich wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on Amazon Music or the Wondery app.
So Canada Smile is making egg waffles, like, or bubble waffles or egg bubble waffles from China, and she's never made one, even though she's grown up with them, like having them all the time.
Yeah, and Ali is doing a turkey kebab, which, really, come on, you guys, you're giving Ali a turkey kebab? Give me a fucking break. That's not fair. So then give him the octopus. Okay. I would rather see Charbel try and make a turkey kebab into a dip. Okay. So then Amar is going to do a big Colombian breakfast using arepas.
Mm.
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Sarah's work making empanadas, and she's like, well, I haven't made empanadas before, but I've made hand pies a bunch of time. Sarah, I'm sorry. A hand pie is not a quilt wrapped around Cool Whip. Sorry.
Wow, a hand pie is what Gail eats when she's waited over 10 minutes for her McDonald's order. So Sarah's like, I decided not to make dough from scratch. You know, I decided I had to make dough from scratch because ever since that fucking waffle challenge, and then we see her season when she used boxed stuff during a challenge and they dissed her. They were like, you used boxed biscuits?
Mm.
Disgusting.
So then Buddha he's working on a Vietnamese dish. I forget how you pronounce it. Is it ban xiao? I apologize.
I apologize
to my Vietnamese friends, of which I have several who are probably just like shaking their heads at me. But either way,
but you know what? I usually write things in a way that I can read them.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'll remember
this. I write
this.
Them down phonetically. And this one, I was like, I'm going to get this because it's so easy. And I can't remember.
I know. I was like, I know this. I've like seen this dish. I think I've eaten this dish. I was like, I'll remember exactly how to say it. And now I'm like, bon bloob bloob. So either way, whatever this Vietnamese dish is pronounced, whatever it is, he's making it. It's like an egg crepey thing. So he's like, well, you have to nail the batter or else you're done. And to emphasize how much you have to nail the batter, I'm going to use a mold of a nail and pour the eggs in that.
So then German Tom is like, I have India and I'm doing puri. I took India because no one else took it. There's a valid reason for that. Ding! Padma. It's very tough to cook for her.
Yeah.
He's like, I took a backpack from Germany to Australia. and then to Spain, and then to Malaysia, and then to Canada, and then to America, and then back to Austria, then to Germany, and then to Spain again, then to Malaysia, because I want to see the world.
Also, I murdered someone. I've been on the run for many years.
That's how I feel, too. Did he rob somebody?
What crime did he commit?
I feel like he's a con man.
Yes, definitely. So then Canada smiles, making her little waffle spheres and having some issues. And Charbel is trying to figure out, like, how do you grill a ball of dough? And then Buddha's having issues with his crepes because the batter is too thick. And he's like, for the first time in Top Chef, I might not have a dish today. But don't worry, I've got a backup plan. Room temperature halibut.
Watch out, world. So it's 2 minutes and he's starting over with his little crepey things. Mm-hmm. And Sarah is like, oh my God, holy shit, this pastry don't work. Mm-hmm. And Gabri's like, it doesn't look like poutine, but the chicken is juicy. I think it's good. But they're not perfect. I've got to get something on the plate. Time's up, hands up, dum-dums, dum-dum. Everyone who's stupid, stop cooking. Ha-ha, it was all of you.
Everyone who got invited to Smart People's Prom may continue cooking. Oh, I guess you all have to stop.
Wow, smells really good in here. Gabby, why don't you go first? And he presents his poutine with parsnip fries, chicken gravy, cheese pancetta, crispy cheese, pancetta, and mushrooms. It looks very pretty.
It's
but
very
he took
pretty.
Out the best part. So go to hell and take your hellish dish with you. Bye.
And then Tom is up next, and he has his bel puri with raw and sautéed vegetables and mushroom steak and chopped masala and cumin. Pat goes, have you ever had this dish before? He's like, yeah. And Judy's like, and do you like cooking Indian food? He's like, yeah. Pat just stares at him like, wow, thanks a lot, imposter. You're like Tweed at the yarn market in Marrakesh.
Wow, I can't wait till you go back to Germany and pretend you invented puri. That should be fun. We'll talk about that on Taste the Nation. Also airing now. So then Ali serves his turkey kebab, which I think is cheating. That's too easy. Mm-hmm. And then Buddha serves his Vietnamese dish, his banh xi. It's banh xi. It's like a banh xi scheme. It's when somebody wants to take all your money by making really good bonds. a banh xi scheme.
Yeah. And Buddha is like, yeah, it's that. And Judy's like, have you eaten this dish? I'm just asking because it's very room temperature. I can't help but notice. And Buddha's like,
oh, I have, and I was very scared to take it because it's so technical. I mean, to get that done, you might as well just put a gold medal around my neck right now. It was that technically difficult. I've got a mold of two hands in the clap emoji, which I can't wait to use for myself. It's extremely fucking difficult to pull off, thank you.
I have a mold that says, might as well end this competition now because this was so technical and difficult to do. Am I right?
Amar, this is a colossal arepa. Fried egg, pork belly, bacon, and chorizo. Wow, it's a real gale attack. That's when your heart explodes.
Am I supposed to use a spoon with this? How do I do it? How do I hold it? So Judy's like, what drew you to...
Does this come with an L wrench? How am I supposed to know how to eat this?
Judy's like, Padma, please stop putting that on my head. But I don't know what to do with it. Judy's like, so what drew you to Colombia? And Mara's like, well, I was thinking, well, first of all, I noticed there was no passport in Morocco. So then second choice, I was hoping I'd get empanadas. And Judy goes, as if she's like, you stupid man.
So Charbel got takoyaki and he doesn't know what it is. He's like, I've never seen it. I've never tried it. So there's egg and flour batter with chunks of octopus. And Japanese aioli. I don't fucking know. Have fun with this.
And Judy goes, this is one of my favorite things, actually. And he's like, oh, thank you. She goes, takoyaki in general, that is. That was like, good one. I love a misdirection.
God, Julie Jew's really got it going on. I really loved how before this you said, have you ever been to India? I mean, that was really amazing. Listen, I don't compliment people often, Jules. Can I call you Jules? Of course I can.
Wait, was her name Julie or Judy?
Julie.
Oh, I wrote Judy. I thought her name was Judy Jew.
No, that's a girl you went to high school with. This is Julie to you.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes much more sense. Well, either way.
I think so. I
mean, no, it's actually her name is Judy. I just looked it up. It's Judy Jew.
It's Judy?
It's Judy.
Well, God damn it. How many times did I write it down wrong? Judy Jew. First of all, the Judy Jew that Ben went to high school with, inevitably, I'm sorry. And also this this Judy Jew. I'm so sorry. I wrote your name down as Julie 900 times. So I apologize.
It's all good. It's all good. Listen, we make listen, I just had my whole Banzi situation that I still am probably saying wrong. So anyway, Charbel serves a steak and she's like, this is the most delicious thing I've ever tasted. I mean, generally speaking, that's what I usually say when I have this. This one is shit. But generally speaking, yeah. I love these.
So what did you think you were going to get when you chose Japan, dummy? And he's like, well, I cook my food all the time, so I wanted something different. I figured Japan would be maybe sushi. And she's like, oh, I admire that idea, not your dish. See, Judy, high fives. High fives, dude.
Well, it's like when I said to Sarah, I admire that you've never been to Paris and the farthest you've ever traveled has been the barn in your backyard where you play banjo. I admire that.
More like when Gail comes in a new blazer that doesn't match anything she's wearing otherwise, I say, I admire that someone actually had the cojones to sell that to somebody.
Yeah.
Wow, good for you, Gail.
It's like when Gail tried to do the Celine Dion thing by wearing a backwards tuxedo, but she just wore the blazer on her legs. I said, I admire that.
I said, Gail, you're not supposed to wear granny panties backwards on your face. You look like you're trying to rob a bank.
I liked when Gail tried to crash the MTV Movie Awards by dressing like a big thing of cotton candy, but then she ate half her dress by the time she got through the red carpet. I admire that.
Oh, so Sarah picked Argentina. She's like, I was hoping for empanadas. Guess what I got? Fucking winner. Empanadas. Right there. Go for it.
And then Nicole, she serves up her egg waffles, and she's like, this is an homage to Canada. And Padma goes, Canada? What? How? But this is China. It's supposed to be China, not Canada. I think you you know what it is? You spelled Canada with an H-I-N in the middle, not an A-N-A-D in the middle. Sorry, Nicole.
This is, it's an egg maple syrup bacon bite. And then Buddha is like, oh, glad I didn't go for Chinese. I was like, hey, that was a very technical thing she just tried she to pull did. Off, Mr. Technical impressionist.
It's like
impression.
Oh, sorry.
Guy who tries to impress people by being technical.
Yeah, just because you say it's technical. Sorry. Well, congratulations. You made a very thin crepe. This is also street food. There are a lot of people who could
seriously,
do this. Okay,
let's relax. Seriously, crepes are not hard. Okay, and you can. Everybody can freak out at. Why are we both stuttering right now? We need
it's Monday.
Let's take a moment. Let's just take a moment. And both
we'll
of
never
us
get into
say,
smart people's pride now.
I know whole words.
Pronounce
words.
Things correctly.
I make crepes a lot. I love crepes. Well, I used to. I'm trying to like not die of blood pressure and heart attacks because I'm at that age, apparently. But I've made a lot of crepes in my life. They're not that difficult, Buddha. Shut up still, Buddha. Why am I telling Buddha to shut up? I really like Buddha.
Because...
But he's getting on my nerves.
He's getting a little bit on my nerves this season, I have to say. I'll tell you what. You know, the first crepe is always turns out wonky. But, and like, I know a thin omelet is hard, but you're using nonstick and you're also on Top Chef. So I think you can do... a thin omelet. I'm sorry. I think you can do it.
Yeah. So Julie's like, wow, guys, I'm very impressed. My taste buds have been transported around the world. Wow. And like Sarah ever will be. Am I right, Sarah? Poor thing. So let's get the bad news out of the way. You're all poor and nameless. Anything else, Julie?
You're all going to Skittles prom. So Charbel is in the bottom. Judy is like, Pam's like, all right, Judy, listen, I want to let you know what's at stake for you. At the end of this quake fire, I'm either going to give you a hug or not give you a hug. And it all depends on how harsh you're going to be. So the choice is up to you, Judy. Have at it. So Judy's like, Charbel, It didn't look like takoyaki. It didn't taste like takoyaki. And it had no resemblance to takoyaki. Plus, your face is stupid and I don't like your pants. I never want to see you again and never look at me directly in the eyes ever again. Wow, Judy.
Whoa, Judy, that was laying it on a little thick. That was almost thicker than the takoyaki batter. Am I right, Judy? That's how you do it, Judy. High five,
Judy, babe. Here, watch the master. Charbel, did you mean to make this indescribable octopus goop?
All right, try again, Judy. Try again. Okay, well, Nicole, bubble waffles are called bubble waffles because bubbles are light and airy. Whoa, that was actually pretty good. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good. Also, a great description of what goes on in Gail's stomach. Light bubbles all the time.
Oh, wow. Bubble waffles because they're light and air. You know what? That was like a Yelp review of Gail. Heavy and doughy. Okay? That's what I say. So Judy's like, Sarah, the filling was dry and there wasn't enough of it. Padma's like, wow, I appreciate that you made your dough, but there was too much butter. Okay, that was the kind of anger level you need to give the third hateful dish. Okay?
It was almost like she was trying to make a butter quilt. I mean, there was so much of it.
And now for some good news. I'm as gorgeous and rich as ever.
And now for some good news. I bought yarn in Marrakesh.
That was a throwback congratulations to myself. 2005.
That was a congratulations to whoever is going to receive that yarn and make me a sweater. Thank you.
Throwback good news.
Here are the tops. Buddha, you're in the tops. And Judy's like, Buddha, what you did was very technically difficult. I don't know why it was, but for some reason I have that idea in my head. I don't know where it came from.
Buddha. It was technical, that's what. Very, very technical. Okay, okay. And Gabri, I'd like to spend one of the only times in your life that someone's gonna say this to you. You're a top. And I was just so impressed. I was just wow. So impressed with the modern interpretation, almost deconstruction of poutine. Wow.
It was amazing. And then Judy's also impressed with the balance of Tom's dish. Wow, Tom, great job doing white person's Indian food. Congratulations.
Our favorite gave us a bite that truly took us back to that country. And his name is Gabri, just kidding, it's Buddha, because what a technical feat! I've done it again!
I would say this is as good as Charbel's takoyaki was absolutely horrible. Oh, I like that. Very well done.
All right, well, Buddha, you've also earned immunity. Judy, thanks for being here. Now, back to scrounging for Insta likes from someone less famous than me. Bye, you're welcome.
Congratulations, you get a Padma hug, and you're not even wearing a pussy bow.
Chefs. Donk, 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 donk. It's time to step.
I love the transition because she always does that. Chefs.
And then the music, it's like donk, 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 donk. But this time it's even crazier. It's time to step up if you plan to make it to the finish line this season. And it's like,
this challenge is going to be fast and furious, like Gail running into the Golden Corral.
Like Gail hearing there's only one quarter pounder left.
Like Gail hearing there's only one final sale at Dress Barn.
So the TV speeds in on rollers. It's like,
that was like, they'd not have any money in their budget to rent like a sports car to drive in. Oh. The fact that there was like a little TV that came like zooming in through smoke, a TV.
And there's all this smoke and these crazy lights. It reminds me of like when the Cooking Network tried to do that, or the Food Network tried to, not the Food Network, the Cooking Network is the cheaper one, right? Mm-hmm. They tried doing that one with the rock and roll chef. She's like, I love rock and roll.
God,
yeah.
I couldn't stand her. The rockabilly. Yeah. She's rockabilly. She's like, I got curly bangs.
Yeah. And then they play like an electric guitar. So she's like, who's ready for a race? Here to give you some inspiration are some folks that people who know a thing or two about being fast.
And then we cut to Vin Diesel. Like Vin Diesel just sort of standing there like, hey, team, sorry we couldn't be there with you today. We brought a little sneak peek a fast X to get you excited. It felt like hey, don't do drugs, you know, that they play in school.
Vin Diesel, not looking great. And I have to say, they really, I like that Hollywood is like, you know what? He was hot for long enough. Let the man live his life and let's still give him 10 movies.
Yeah.
God. So I mean, it was heartwarming, actually. She's like, well, it may seem odd to pair a classy cooking show with a trailer park classic like Fast and the Furious. But Fast and the Furious was also the name of Gail's autobiography when she found out they stopped making Twinkies. I've never seen someone run to a factory that quickly. We just removed S from the title. So it was, you know.
Think about it. People at Smart People's Prom get it. Anyway.
Sorry, Sarah. You're not going to get that one.
She goes to the Slow and the Furious prom. Anyway, last year, we had dinosaurs on here to celebrate Jurassic Park. And this year, we have dinosaurs to celebrate Fast and the Furious. Vin Diesel, everyone. So,
what, were you expecting a challenge based on Tar?
So we see this trailer, and Victoria's like, oh, Italy. And then all the chefs are just like pretending like they either care or are interested. They're like, okay, all right.
Yeah. And then all the cast starts coming on, and I've never seen a Fast and the Furious movie, which I should probably watch.
Scattered. I've seen certain ones. I always intend to see them, and I never... Yeah, they're fun. They're fun. I always plan to watch them, and I never seem to watch them. But I saw the first one, which I liked actually a lot, and I think I saw the second one, and I saw the fifth one. I saw one where they're in Brazil, and and Gal Gadot, I think, was in it, and she was like...
Why you do that?
Why you do that? What, we have to drive safe through Brazil? Why you do that?
That is one of the funniest things you ever said. Was we were talking about Wonder Woman when that first came out, and you're like, "This is Wonder Woman. Why you do that?"
Yeah. She's just like entered society after spending like her life on an island, and she's like trying to figure out Paris. She's like, "What? Why you do that?" She's like literally like, "I Wonder Woman." So,
so funny.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
So, the cast comes on. They're like, wow, over the years we travel around the globe. Yeah, we were in the busiest streets around.
Now buckle up, because Padma got twists and turns to navigate this shit.
I was like, what is this movie?
I know. You just see Padma standing by the monitor, just like trying to. She's like, this is not my brand, so I will not engage with this trailer whatsoever. Oh, Ludacris and Tyrese. How lovely for them. Don't see them at Smart People's Prom.
I'd just like to point out that not one of those cast members of Fast and the Furious was standing on a gel mat.
Wow, look at that. My dear friend Jason Momoa. How do you say his mamoom? Mamoom. Mamomo. Hi, Jason Mamom.
So, who's a fan of Fast and the Furious? And some people raise their hands, but embarrassingly, you know, like you can tell they're kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
And it's like, has anyone seen them all? Sarah, stop lying, Sarah. We all know that you've seen, but the only one to raise her hand is Vic Soir. And she's like, I've seen them all because I love driving.
Wow. So, let's not have her get behind the wheel of our BMW X530,000. She'll crash it. Now, who here is a fan of Federico Fellini? Anyone? Oh, am I the only one who likes Italian art films? Oh, sorry.
Any fans of Almodovar? Didn't think so, Devar. So tomorrow, you'll compete in the fastest elimination challenge in Top Chef history. You'll compete in the notorious mise en place race. It's always been a quickfire. Chefs, this time it's time to draw knives. Because it's not a quickfire, it's an elimination challenge. A fast and furious elimination challenge. It goes fast. It goes furious. Can I go now? Can you just cut some of that together?
For this challenge, you'll be peeling 30 coconuts and stacking them on Vin Diesel. Chefs, it's time to draw knives in this kind of half-baked last-minute challenge we came up with because clearly the restaurant we were supposed to shoot in had a fire.
Right? This challenge seems crazy. So it's time to draw knives. So we've got teams. We've got a green team, which is Sarah, Amar, and Charbel. And then the red team is Nicole, Buddha, and Victoire. And yellow is Ali, Tom, and Gabri. And Tom's like, oh, if I feel good with the team, we know we are the fast ones. So then I feel good about that.
And by the way, every time they draw knives for the teams, every time they pull a knife out of the block, they put in a sound effect of a car going, vroom, vroom. I'm like, okay, everyone relax. These are chefs pulling out knives to make delicate, beautiful food. And you're making it sound like they're at the AutoZone. Okay.
Because you know that the movie PR team or whatever that made this deal, they just keep getting notes. They keep sending notes like, we need more Fast and the Furious guys. I mean, yeah. We're sponsoring an entire episode. Did anybody get any... The knife taught... Did anybody feel anything Fast and the Furious branded in that? Do something about
this. Really,
do something!
We're really concerned that the audience may think this is about horse racing. So could we just... We just really want to, like, amplify what this is about. So when they pull the knives out, how about, like, revving of a car? It really would speak to street racing in Italy, I think.
Yeah. We all complete... Well, you'll compete in three bands of at the Mies race.
I like
that Padma shortening of it.
Yeah, she won't even say Mies en Place anymore.
That's what we call it. That's what professionals call it. They're like, have you done your Mies yet?
Yeah. Once that race is over, each team will work fast and furiously to create three dishes featuring your team's Mies ingredients in just 30 minutes. Wow. The fastest elimination challenge in the history of Top Chef.
The best three will get a trip to Fast and the Furious Part 10 for you and a guest.
The winners get to go to the world premiere of Fasten. Oh, excuse me. Fast 10. Sorry.
Oh, is that what she said? No wonder I got confused. Fast 10.
Fastix.
Oh, I get it. Fastix
by Elon Musk. That's where we're sending a space shuttle into a street to race.
And Buddha's like, we've got to win this one for Victoire. It's going to be the most technical thing I've ever done.
I know.
And so now they go to some garage wine bar type place set.
Because of like cars. Don't you know? Yeah. Fast the Furious has cars. So they're going to go drink something near a car.
So Mara's like, yeah, usually we get this stuff out at the beginning but now someone's going to go home in the elimination challenge for this. And Nicole had to do a bass and shallots and she made it through three rounds of hers in her season. Yeah. And, Buddha's like, well, if they give you something amazing like uni, there must be something to give you a disadvantage if you lose every round.
Yeah.
I'm going to think about this really hard because I'm Buddha.
It's a technical challenge. So Charbel, Charbel's saying he's joking about how in his season he did much better with quick fires, but this season he's doing better with elimination challenges. And then they're like, cool. And then Buddha's like, oh, Victoire, I've been told by the people at NBC Universal that I have to ask you this question. You're a big Fast and Furious fan. Who's your favorite actor? She's like, oh, Vin Diesel. I dream of him. Vin Diesel. I'm like, yeah. Vin Diesel. I'm just never going to get that image of Vin Diesel doing like the peace signs in his like sleeveless tank to Padma out of my brain.
So now we're back in the kitchen. Stupid racing lights again and engine sounds. And then now the judges are all there. And Padma's like, hope you got some sleep. You'll need the energy. Please welcome Stupid Gail, Tom with the Dumb Hats, and Top Chef Canada judge, David Zilber, who's going to try and take all of our jobs today by being more fun, wittier, and more charming than any of us combined.
I know. I loved David Zilber. By the way, I couldn't remember his name, so I started calling him Justin in my notes because I really felt like he had Justin energy, but he was adorable. And he was great. Why have we never had Justin? I mean, see? I just called him Justin. David Zilber before.
Yeah, David was about to take this whole thing. I was like, well, I can't believe they're not getting mad at him because he's winning. So Tom is like, oh, he worked in Roma and he got famous for fermenting a pigling and eating everything, okay? Did he say fermenting a pigling?
No, he said fermenting and pickling literally everything.
For fuck's sake, you guys. Can I just, I rewound this three times, okay? Did not have closed captions, and I was horrified. I was like, you can eat an entire
you fermented
pigling?
A pigling.
Well, it's a piglet, right? Not a pigling. So I was like, I was very confused. I was very grossed out, and I hated this judge at first, because I was like, ew, he eats entire pickled piglings.
He invented a new category of baby pigs, and then he ate them. So Padma's like, this Mies race. You all know what I mean when I say Mies, right? Sarah, do you need me to say the full phrase? Anyway, this Mies race will take place in three rounds. Each round will have a protein, a fruit, and a vegetable. Round one will feature ingredients from the first three Fast and Furious films. Los Angeles, Miami, and Tokyo.
And Omar's like, I only have to normally do one thing, but this is three rounds, three things for each chef. They call it Top Chef World All-Star for a reason. And so one of them, okay, so they have to hit out and fan out four avocados.
Seems simple.
Then, yeah, it seems simple. And they have to call check and Tom blows a whistle. You know, we know this whole thing. I don't know how much of this you want to really go. Yeah, I don't know how deep you want to go into this.
I don't need, yeah, basically the first three ingredients are avocados, supreme eight oranges, and then filet two whole hamachis. So, and then whoever in this Mies race, whichever team wins, gets first pick of an ingredient that they're going to feature in their elimination challenge dish, etc. So, avocados, your time starts now. Gail, what are you doing? I said avocados. Oh, I see what you mean. You thought I was calling you an avocado. I like that.
And so, yeah, they just start running around and doing this shit, really. Yes. The fastest, Charbel takes oranges, Amar takes hamachi. I don't know, who cares?
I'm just going to mention, like, the things that I noted during, because basically it's like,
I noted
and now
everything.
35 minutes of them prepping food, but Amar is basically like, wow. You know, during COVID, I had to go back to the kitchen, you know, after I opened my third restaurant. And, you know, like when I'm working the line, I feel like I'm 20 again. He has this like weird age thing that he keeps talking about. Like, I'm this old guy. He's acting like he's 75. He's 40. He's 40. And he's everything is like,
that how old he is?
Yeah, he's like 40, 41. And he's like, everything is like, I mean, that guy's 22. Look what he's doing, you know, and look at him. Oh, I feel like I'm 20 again in Morocco. I'm like, okay. Settle down.
And he also does this thing like he hasn't touched the line in years and years, which I like too. Like, he got famous. How long ago was Amar on Top Chef? We need to look this
up. That was when Amar, we went to the top. That was the Top Chef. That was the one that we went to.
Oh, so that was quite a while ago.
That's probably right. Like 5 years
ago. Well, he began, he immigrated to the U.S. at 13, began his culinary career at 16. So, girl, after working in a kitchen that long, you probably do feel really fucking old. Let's see.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that season, did you hear that Kwame's restaurant in New York City, that New York Times just ranked as the number one restaurant in New York City?
I sure did. Okay, so on his season, he was 33, and that was Top Chef California.
Is that already 7 years ago? 7 years ago, since we tasted all that food, and then that girl kicked the other girl out of line while we got in the vans.
It was 8 years ago.
What?
So
that was 8 years ago.
41. Yeah, it was. It was announced on Bravo April 14th, 2015. So maybe it came out later.
2015 to 2020. How? I can't believe that's 8 years. Time flies. Wow.
It sure does. So, yeah. So, wow. There's your Amar deep dive, everybody. He's 41. Ben was correct. So
I was sort of guessing. I didn't know for sure.
I thought he was way older the way he talks. I mean, I thought he was at least as old as my old ass. You know? So then Buddha. Okay. I'm just writing avocado, fish, oranges, Nicole, fish, then Victoria, orange, then Padma, avocados, your time starts now. And then Sarah saying, as a young female in the kitchen, one way that I showed my value was prepping faster than anyone else. And man, Sarah was really fast.
Yeah, she was fast at not going to Paris.
So she wins that one. And then then Buddha is next to finish an avocado. And Amar's on oranges. Oh, yeah, that's when he talks about not working the line for a long time.
Right.
And Amar's like, well, I see Ali struggling with oranges. He can't do them as fast as me, and he's 28. Come on, bro.
And then Padma's trying to do her best sports commentary, but it's like, you know, when you watch Big Brother and there's like a live competition and Julie Chen has to do like sportscaster thing, and she's like, Paul is in the lead. And now here comes Janice, and Paul is in the lead still, and Janice is doing well, and here comes Tom. So that's basically what Padma's doing. She's like, okay, everyone. Wow. Amar has 2 oranges. Victoire has 2.5. Do you see Ali? I can't see Ali. What an exciting day at the orange races.
Look at Gabri go. Yellow team is coming from behind. Watch out. Drop the soap. So Nicole yells checks, and they're like, did she do the bones? And she did do the bones. So she wins. So red team wins round one, and they take Hamachi. The green team comes in second, and they take the orange. And the yellow team is last, and they take the avocado.
So
next round will feature ingredients from film 3 through 4 through 6, Mexico, Rio de Janeiro, and London.
So they have to peel and dice 8 prickly pears, clean and devein 2 dozen shrimp, and shell peas for like a cup worth of English peas.
Yeah. So Nicole starts peeling the prickly pears, and they're playing clown music. They're playing like dummy clown music. And Buddha's like, no, slit it, roll it out of there. She's like, okay. So then Gabri is going really fast on prickly pears. Mm-hmm. And then it looks like they're neck and neck, but she wins it. So then shrimp is next. So Tom C is killing it.
Well, Tom Colicchio is like, look at Tom. I mean, he's very efficient. He's just sitting there doing his thing. You know, very relaxed, no concerns in the world, not calling up his father saying, hey, Dad, can I borrow some more money? And then his father has to say, well, maybe next time, don't be a mixologist. And then you won't have to call me up for all this money. You know, he's just doing his thing.
And we've already sent someone home this season for shrimp poop. So don't leave a shrimp poop. So then Buddha wins the shrimp. And then it's the pee time. And Victoria is talking about how when she was small, she and her siblings would work on the field together and they would have competitions on deshelling peas. So she wins that one. And so red wins the second round. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yellow came in second and green came in third. Victoire chooses shrimp. And Buddha goes, it's tactical. Remove the protein from the other team. We know, Buddha. We fucking know, dude.
It's technical and it's tactical. So, the green team is stuck with the prickly pear and the yellow team has peas. So we go into the third round. And this round, ingredients are from Abu Dhabi, Cuba, and Scotland. So they have to pit a bunch of dates. Then they have to brunoise red peppers. And then they have to French 2 racks of lamb. So Tom's like, and another thing, just want you to know, we're going to be real pain in the ass about those lamb bones. They have to be clean. You got to be careful. We are going to have real discerning judging about those lamb bones. By the way, every single time someone says they're done, there's like barely any pushback from the judges. There was like one moment with an orange and maybe a half a beat with the lamb bone. But they're pretty soft on this mise en place race.
I think so. But I think they're there all day on this one. So they're like, just get this shit done.
I know.
Please, please, Tom. So the team of Gabri, Tom, and whoever else are like trying to decide who's going to divide up what. And Gabri's like, I could do, what was he saying?
He doesn't want to do
really
lamb.
Fast. So bell pepper?
He's going to do pepper. And Tom's like, I do pepper. I could do pepper. I put pepper in a sling and then I slice it up. And
I do pepper shisa videos, so I can do that.
I did pepper shisa video in 2005 and I've been on the run ever since.
Gabri's like, I can't do lamb. I don't know how to do it. I've never done it. So I shouldn't do that. And he's like, no, you do that. I do pepper.
You do lamb.
But I literally don't know how to do it and I've never done it. He goes, okay, you do it. You have fun.
Now is the time when you do lamb.
Yeah, that was super shitty. And I was also surprised to see that there were 2 chefs that can't do lamb. That was crazy. Mm. I mean, he wasn't saying he couldn't do it. Tom wasn't saying he couldn't do it, but he seemed like kind of a wuss to be insisting on peppers when someone's like literally not knowing how to do it. So
yeah. So now they start, and Charbel's doing his dates. Sorry. He's like, And he's like, every morning I have dates with my coffee. No way someone is going to beat me. Also, I arrange the dates into the flag. So he's first, and then Victoire second, and Ali is third. And they move on to the peppers. And Tom is like very speedy with peppers. So admittedly, this is his strong suit. So Tom is first, and Amar's next, and then Nicole's third. And then we go into the lamb situation. So Gabri has no idea what to do. And on top of that, when they're trying to advise him, he doesn't seem able to take it in. So he's like very confused. And then they cut to like Sarah, and she's just like yanking meat off the bone. And she's like, there we go. Wow. That seems like a great trick for quilt prom. Good luck with that, Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah's killing it. But the reason that it makes no sense to Gabri is because Tom is giving instructions like a typical man. Okay, when you're driving with a man, just there. It's right there. But it's right there. Just can't you see it? Just do that. Okay, cut right there. Okay, just turn there. It's like, where? Point. Say left, right. Yeah. From the bottom, from the top. I need more of a description than do that.
Yeah.
Right there. Can't you see it? You see it? No, I can't fucking see it.
So Sarah's done first, but David's like, this is pretty good, but I think you need to clean it up a little bit. So then for a moment, it looks like maybe someone will catch up to Sarah, but they don't. She wins.
And so she's green team, and they win. So they take the lamb. And so they've got oranges, prickly pear, and lamb. Is that correct?
Right. Yes.
And then red has hamachi, shrimp, and dates.
Mm-hmm.
And Gabri only has vegetables. Yep. So they've peppers got peppers, and avocado, and peas.
Right. So now they only have 30 minutes to make these three dishes that feature these ingredients in the fastest elimination challenge of all time. So,
my gosh.
So they're basically just doing another quick fire now, right? So they're just like cooking very fast. And Padma just keeps on saying that this is the fastest elimination challenge of all time. Like, it's like we're impressed by it. It's like still the same amount of TV time for us, you know?
Yeah, so Gabri takes the avocado to feature, and Tom is still all about his bell peppers. Just loves his bell peppers. You can do so many Texas visit. I'm going to do fried peppers, serrated, pickled, baked, fried. Like, he loves those peppers. And then Ali is just sprinting around everywhere. And Gail goes, it almost feels like a quick fire. Yeah, but more stressful because someone's going to get eliminated. By the way, Gail, I've got bad news and bad news. You're eliminated. Bye. Get out of here.
We didn't say it had to be one of the chefs. David, you're our new Gail. And then as Ali's running, they once again have like car sound effects. It's like, I'm like, okay, listen, he's not a vehicle. Okay. We don't need car sound effects for every single thing. We get it. It's Fast and Furious.
And then there's a car crash sound because he runs and then he falls. And Padma's like, ooh, Gail, there's some food on the pavement. Watch her go.
Gail, there's some food on your table. And by table, I mean the floor. Go get it.
While we've got Fast and the Furious sound effects playing, can we also play Adele's Chasing Pavements? That would be great. Thanks. Gail's exit song. Thanks.
I'm just sad that we don't have Fast and the Furious star Jason Statham here. So Tom's like, well, I mean, Gabri, he's like a whirling dervish. Wow, that sounds like Gail's favorite kind of ice cream sundae.
So then the red team starts. I hope they have their sneakers on. And Nicole takes shrimp. And Buddha is going to do some kind of a cake. A date cake. Okay. And then Victoire takes hamachi. So he's like, you know what I'm doing? Baking a cake. Baking a cake in 30 minutes. That's a huge risk. Huge. Very, very technical.
But what makes it even more technical is all these cakes are going to be the shapes of a hand and a skull together.
Better get that sweet potato on the fire.
Because it's the fastest elimination challenge ever.
Mm-hmm. So Victoire is going to do a fresh hamachi tartare with a twill that she's going to make from the dates.
Yeah.
And she's going to do it with a colatura di alici, fish sauce, only from Italy.
Green team, you can start now. So Gail's like, 10 minutes? That was fast. I know, and you ate an entire porterhouse in that time. Amazing, Gail.
So Sarah's going to use the loin off the bone for the lamb. And Amar's like, my team decided to use all lamb, especially going up against red team with hamachi and prawns. So their thing is they're going to all feature the lamb, but they're also going to feature the other things that they want, like the other ingredients.
Somehow. It's almost like they're scared that if they don't have like a meat on their plate, that they're going to be disadvantaged. So Padma's like, yes. Wow, everybody's cooking. You can call me up, ESPN. I think I do a pretty good job with the play-by-play.
Hey, can anyone see what Sarah's doing? Why do I have a feeling it's scratching off scratch-offs in the 7-Eleven? Oh, there she is. There she is.
I don't want to look, but I thought I saw the shadow of Banjo somewhere. So then David's like, well, she's grabbing another rack of lamb to French, but she's going for the loin. Smart move. Way less cooking time for sure. Ha 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 ha. That was great commentary, New Gale. Love it.
So something is burning. Something is burning. It's Victoire's tuile. So that's a fail. Yeah. So yellow team is done first. So it's time for them to get judged. They had peas, avocado, and peppers. And Tom's like, I made whole roasted bell pepper with smoked bell pepper and hazelnut puree with chorizo bell pepper, gremolata, feta grill pepper, pepper, and pickled pepper on a pepper, pickled pepper on a pepper veggie.
And Gail's like, and is that feta? No, Gail, it's cotton balls. Of course it is, dum-dum. Sorry, everyone.
So the guest loves it. And Ali's dish is a hot appetizer, and it's completely vegetarian. It's smashed peas with basil and mint, spiced potatoes, garlic, coriander, and chili. I think it looks really good.
It does. These all look great. And then Gabri makes charred avocado with red pepper, bacon, and vinaigrette. And David's like, you know, I really like this. I really like the acid that was here. And they're all like, yay. So then Amar is burning sugar, and Nicole needs help plating, and she's like, why did I have to make this dish so complicated? I was like, wow, she really is Canadian. She's quoting Avril Lavigne. That's like such dedication to her country. Why gotta make this dish so complicated? Life likes that sometimes.
1 minute, dummies. Time's up. Just kidding. I said 1 minute, but it was already done. So Nicole has a tempura prawn with Thai coconut curry with roasted sweet potato. And David's like, my God, these flavors are simply heartwarming. Am I right? I'm like, wow, David is taking the first opportunity to speak every single time.
He really is.
Like, I think he's trying to get the job.
You know? I think so.
I respect it.
Yeah. And then Victoire serving a hamachi tartare with that colatura di alici dressing with lemons and dates. And Gail's like, why tartare, Victoire? Oh, Gail, that was clever. Do that again. Why tartare, Victoire? Gail, that's hilarious. Say it again. Why tartare, Victoire? Oh, my God. Gail, I've never known you to be this funny. And you don't even understand why. She's rhyming. Something that's people at Smart People Prom understand.
She's a regular Dr. Moose over there. So, Victoire, answer the question. And Victoire's like, because it was fresh and the texture was very elegant. And the guest is like, you know what you get? The umami. Let me tell you guys, the umami of that. And Tom's like, yeah. And you know what else I got? That's sweet, which was very nice. It was nice to get a little sweet there. And Buddha's like, oh, you want to talk about sweet? Or did something so difficult and technical, it's going to blow your mind. Date cake with miso caramel and pecan praline. Oh, dare you to hate it. Dare you.
And David's like, this is the dessert I never knew I was missing. Well, you better eat it quickly, because with Gail around, you will be missing it very soon.
Ask the Twinkie Factory. So, green team, 1 minute. And Sarah's like, guys, we have to make sure they're all on the plate or we're not going to win it. Time's up, hands up, teeth in. Okay, Sarah, bring your team forward.
How about Bindles down? Okay, so they arrive and Padma lets out her first big wow of the episode.
So Sarah featured orange with her lamb. And she had a Duca crusted lamb with burnt orange yogurt and an orange gremolata.
Yeah, and she had told us when she was cooking, by the way, that she's like, I'm going to just overload this with orange everywhere. So that's what she did.
Yeah. So because that's her featured thing. So she really has to, you know, overdo it. So Charbel is only featuring the lamb. because that was one of the three ingredients. So he did lamb loin with a carrot puree and roasted carrots with honey, which, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds boring to me. And then the guest was like, so were you trying to caramelize this? Because you know what? You could have gone farther because it stuck in my teeth. Isn't that good when caramelized stuff gets stuck in your teeth?
I think it was that, like, it didn't get out of the chewy, sticky phase. It needed to get to, like, the burnt phase or something like that. You want it to be a little bit farther. And furthermore, why tartare, Victoire? God, I love saying that.
And Amara's like, I did harissa grilled lamb chops. You know why, Morocco? Want to fight with it?
Like, I was shocked he did not mention Morocco. When he had lamb and harissa, I was like, here it comes. Here it comes.
Yep. And he did a prickly pear gastrique. And Padma's like, have you worked with this before, Mark? He's like, oh, shit. Really? Is it that bad? What? I'm just asking a question. Oh, I've got another one. So why the meditation on lamb?
I mean, this is ridiculous. A meditation on lamb. I mean, that's like going to Sarah's hometown where they only have meditations on quilts. It just doesn't make sense.
What are you, Shirley MacLaine? Meditation out on a lamb? What is that? What we're doing today? I just don't understand.
What are you, 10% happier? Are you 10% happier with your meditation? Why?
I love when she gets so mad.
I know. Meditation on lamb. She woke up that day and she's like, wow, I'm so excited for today. The fastest elimination challenge in the history of Top Chef. I just hope we don't have a meditation on anything, specifically lamb.
Gail's like, because they cut. Shut up, Gail. Stop reading your trophies from the hamburger eating competitions.
Gail, okay. If you think you're impressing Vin Diesel, you're not. It was a pre-recorded bit.
Ben was like, oh, wow. I think that was the fastest elimination cook we've ever had. And then Tom goes, well, I'm not furious with the food we had, huh? And she goes, ha ha, Tom, LOL, Tom.
Wow. Talk about a Tokyo drift. That's what we call Gail when she falls out of cars. Anyway. Sorry, that had nothing to do with anything. Just wanted to mention something. As long as we're making puns about Fast and Furious, featuring my dear friend, Michelle Rodriguez. Anyway, so Amar, in the stew room, Amar's worried that they misunderstood the challenge with all that lamb. And Tom is like, "Not. I would love to attend a training from Sarah with how to butcher lamb in less than 30 seconds. It would help me for how to butcher humans in my apartment before I go on the run again."
And Sarah's like, yeah, I usually do that with my teeth, but I don't want to be classless in the middle of the Fast and the Furious. God forbid you declass a Fast and the Furious movie. Am I fucking right? So at the judges' table, Padma's doing her robot laser eyes, and they start playing the judges' music, and she's sitting there like,
I'm very upset. Why would lamb meditate? What does the lamb need? Am I supposed to sleep solidly after the day?
Overall, you guys gave us a lot of well-thought-out dishes, especially for a half hour of time, which I think we can all agree means that this did make it the fastest elimination challenge of all time.
So overall,
you guys gave us well-thought-out dishes for half an hour of time. Yellow team, stay here. Green team and red team, step to the side. You're all terrible, okay?
Incidentally, half an hour of time is exactly how much plot there is in each of these movies.
And Tom G is like, oh my God, I'm not on the bottom four vines, not even in sling. And the guest is like, red bell peppers would have been my least and the furious favorite. But you really made them sing, buddy.
Ali, I love that you didn't feel that you needed to give us protein. You didn't need to give us some sort of cockamamie meditation on, I don't know, lamb. Well, you just gave us peas. And I thought you did a beautiful job with that.
And Gail's like, oh, I also loved the miso brunoise potatoes.
Of course you did, Gail. We figured.
And Tom's like, Gabrielle, the avocado is fatty. And then you took chewy bacon and you put that on a fatty thing. But then guess what? The fat on fat was good.
Okay. Anyone want to take that? Gail, even you could do that.
Yeah, you could do that.
No?
Okay, the three of you, congratulations. You get to go to the Fasten world premiere. And then you get to FaceTime Victoire and tell her how much fun you're having at the movie franchise that she knows every detail about and that you barely understand.
So we do want to congratulate one winner out of the three already winners. The winner did the best job of featuring the ingredient and wowing us. Tom! And Tom's like, oh my god, I love the Fast and the Furious, so I get to go to world premiere. I go and talk some big hot. Yellow team, step to the side and... Oh, sorry.
Wow, that really went to your head. Wow. Listen.
Wow. Tom gets a ticket to Fast and the Furious and suddenly he's Padme the Furious. Get the fuck out of here, Tom, you idiot. I can still take it back.
He goes to the Fast and World premiere and suddenly he thinks he hosts a show. Papa, it's Fast 10. I don't care, Tom. I'll call it what I want. I was married to a novelist.
Yellow team, step to the side and send over the green team. I know the green team can hear me, but I don't want to speak to them directly right now because it's disgusting.
Green team, please stand in front of us and don't look us in the eyes. Thank you.
Hello, green team. She wants it. We heard you. Okay, we're walking over there. Green team, your team had our least favorite dishes of the day, and one of you will be going back to playing the banjo on a river while... Ned Beatty gets attacked horribly. Or was Ned Beatty the attacker? I actually don't remember.
I think Ned Beatty was attacked, if I remember. I believe he was told to squeal like a pigling.
Oh, sounds about right. Bless me. Gosh, I could have almost used a meditation for that one.
But not on land.
So, green team, how did the day go for you? Did you feel like you got your engine started, or were you stuck in park the entire time? Sorry, that was a little bonus. A little bonus tie-in for the movie.
And Charbel's like, well, I thought we did our best to make the ingredients shine, but we didn't. And Sarah's like, I guess we're realizing now we didn't really give you what you wanted by giving you one dish orange, one dish prickly, one dish lamb. We just figured that's how you'd want it. So, wrong, fail, hit on the brakes, whoops, broken tail light. Pull over, please.
Gail was actually very excited to try a muffler salad, so I think that's where she's most disappointed. So Tom's like, you know, I thought it was pretty smart. They spread this lamb around, you know? But the individual ingredients just weren't highlighted. It was like you had this really great idea, like to go into the world of food and bev, and then you just become a mixologist. Like, what's even the point?
So Gail's like, I like the Mars chops, but the prickly pear needed to take more of a role. And you need to take less of a role. Weren't you already eliminated? Why is Gail still here?
The prickly pear was like Jason Muma in The Fast and Furious. Love him that he's there, but like, why don't we see more of him? Am I right?
Tom's like, you know what? It wasn't about prickly pear. I'll tell you that much. And Padma's like, Chabel, everything on your plate was fine, but Gail.
What does this mean?
Boring. Oh, God, I was exhausted. Talk about Fast and the Furious. I wish we were shooting that right now so I could just lay on the floor and get run over so I wouldn't have to listen to her anymore.
Yeah, it was like watching the sequel to Tar, which I only have access to because I'm in the Soho House. Yes, it's called Tar 2, Tarrier Than Ever. I can't say what it's about because it's an NDA, but I will say this. Boring.
So, let's see. The guest is like, yeah, I mean, if you're only using three ingredients, they've got to blow my bloody mind. And they didn't. They just didn't. Sarah, you had the best. The orange did feel featured. Everything was orange. Good for fucking you. You did it. And Tom's like, yeah, you know what, Sarah? You did accomplish it because we got orange. And now this one's about Amar and Charbel. You guys are in trouble.
And Charbel's like, I agree with everything you guys said, so I'm not surprised. Well, congratulations. You don't get brownie points just for changing your mind and trying to kiss up to us. Although I do, I kind of appreciate that. Okay, Amara, Charbel's safe, everyone.
Thanks, Charbel, for agreeing with the criticism of you. You can leave now. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that too, Charbel? Okay, bye then. I just said bye. Do you agree, Charbel? Okay, keep walking, Charbel. Keep on.
Oh, and Victoire, before you walk out, do you like tartare, Victoire? Ha! Huh. I just keep on saying that. By the way, Victoire, I'll let you know how Tarry Night 2 goes. Get it? Because that rhymes with your name as well. Okay, I've had to... I think I need to have a meditation on Lamb again. No, I'm going wild.
I need to meditate. And when I wake up, I'm going to read the Victoire Tarside comic from the newspaper. So thanks for coming.
I've lost my mind. Victoire. Too much Lamb. I got Lamb brain. So they're deliberating.
Yeah, they're deliberating. And
I feel like Charbel, in a way, did feature prominently the lamb, whereas Amar didn't really feature the prickly pear at all. And Tom is like, well, I disagree. And I'll tell you why. Because you say he featured the lamb. The lamb was just on the plate. I mean, the lamb had no flavor at all. It was just there. Oh, like Gail. Right here, right? Yeah.
No. What I'm saying is the lamb had no taste. Right. Like Gail, right? No. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, lamb, it was just like, blah. So like Gail. Why do I have to keep repeating myself? I need a new gel mat.
To stuff it in Tom's face. So Padma's like, well, at least I could find the lamb, you know? It's like, well, at least until Gail entered the room. Then all of a sudden, it just disappeared.
Then Gail goes, but did the lamb sing? Was the lamb a star? Oh, God, you want his autograph, Gail? Jesus Christ. So Padma's like, well, I don't think Amar did any justice to the prickly pear at all. And I'll say that because just earlier I told him, oh my God, what an epic arepa. And then he took that and just failed.
I mean, I didn't see anything prickly or anything pear-shaped on his dish. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. So,
well, I guess we have our answer. No one listens to me once again. So let's call them out here.
So the chefs come back out and Tom goes, you know, chefs, listen, you cook. That's why you're here. This challenge was very, very specific. It's about promoting a movie that's part of the NBC Comcast Universal universe. And to that extent, neither of you did it. One of you is supposed to shave your head and wear a sleeveless tee. The other one of you is supposed to drive in on a fast car and crash into the counters. The point is this.
Yeah. You know what? You're supposed to highlight an ingredient. I'm highlighting a member's club jacket that I'm 30 years too old for. Padma is highlighting how much more famous she is than you. Gail's highlighting terrible fashion and general malaise. And you guys highlighted Dookie Squat. Okay.
Charbel, congratulations.
Bogma?
You've been...
Bogma? I'm sorry. You had your line before I had my line.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you were going to keep going. So for that reason, one of you is going home, and you're not allowed to see Fast and the Furious ever, you poor things. Bogma?
Charbel.
Bogma?
Charbel, congratulations. You've been invited to Please Pack Your Knives and Go Prom.
Please pack your dips and go, Charbel. Okay.
And Amar goes, damn, bro. Thanks, Amar.
I mean, if you cook as well as you've been cooking in Last Chance Kitchen, you'll do great. I can't wait to have things to dip things into again. That sounds great. And Charbel's like, I'm just grateful to put my country on the map. That's an achievement of itself. And at 25, I'm here. I was like, Jesus.
Another 25? Achievement. Looking like I'm 53 when I'm only 25.
God, what is it? You know what, Lebanese people, I feel like we're really hot when we're younger, and then we just age so fast. I mean, I started looking 40 when I was 15, okay? And I think I stayed there until I was about 30, and then I hit 50. I was like, what the hell? This is not fair. Every day I become more of my jiddy. And then I've been okay with it, because you can't really help aging for the most part, except for shots and peels and all the other shit that I do to myself. But still, that's one. You can't change the actual number. But God damn, seeing him say he's 25, God bless it.
Wow. Well, he's the most successful tie-in we've had all episode. So to Charbel, who's aged fast and furious.
He's aged so fast, it's made Ronnie furious. So congratulations.
He aged just as fast as his sequel. Too fast, too furious.
The fate of the furious Lebanese people is to get old quickly.
Wow.
Well, everybody, that brings us to the end of Top Chef. Long live Lebanon. Sorry, yeah. That sucks. I was rooting for you, buddy.
Well, he might come back. You never know.
Oh, yeah, because there's like 9 Last Chance Kitchens.
Yeah, okay. He was doing great. Although, yeah, we want him to win because he's up against Dale. But then also Dale was up against Sylvie. So we want I don't know. I think I want Sylvie more than Charbel.
Yeah, I haven't been watching The Last Chance Kitchens. I've been very, very bad with that. So, yeah, you know, we should get better at that. We should watch shows. I mean, that's part of the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Last All right, everybody. Kitchen. Thanks so much for being here. Go get tickets for our live show, New York.
Yeah, soon, next week.
Washington. Next week. New York is Real Housewives of Jersey. Washington, D.C.'s Pump Rules. Tickets available, watchwhatcrappens.com. And then all our shows in June, San Diego is the first one out of those, so go get tickets. We love you guys. We will talk to you later on this week. If you're only Top Chef listeners, it's a double episode week. We'll be back Friday with the newest episode.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Congratulations, you. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.